You have entered the Arcade Cafe. Today, I've served myself, wouldn't you know it, another beer. It's an Ellis Lager, again from Aslan's Variety Pack, and it's good. I'll move on.
Do you drink beer every day?
I have been the last like month or two. I literally just have one every day. And I mean, sometimes I'll skip a day, but I just like having one at the end of the day.
And I'm drinking from my big black cup.
Where's that from?
Late Night Slice in Columbus.
Like a pizza place?
I got a fancy cup, and I've just been using it for iced coffee. Yeah, it's nice. A pizza joint. It was really fucking good. It was across the street from the convention center. And I was like, oh, man, I wish I got 10 huge slices of pizza.
That was for the Arnold?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm your host, if you're wondering. I'm Bryce Yoli. And I'm here with my pal and cousin-in-law and more eloquent co-host, Caleb James.
Yeah.
Here in the arcade.
I got my name on my jacket today. Look at that.
Oh, is that your work jacket?
Yeah, if I take it off.
Yeah. Well, here in the Arcade Cafe lies a materia-sized answer, because we're going to talk a little bit Final Fantasy today. Materia-sized answer to those full-length episodes of the main feature of Arcade Bookshop at only 20 to 30 minutes in length. We bring you our current thoughts on our video game progress, book progress, a little bit of video game news that is probably already a little bit old, occasional state of the podcast info, our wants, our needs, our private thoughts, our deepest, darkest secrets, and the sweet nothings that Caleb whispers in the bedroom.
In the pickles.
Let's get down to business. So today we have a couple of sad news items.
Just drop it down immediately.
Well, I figure you start with the bad news and then we go ahead with the good stuff.
That's fair.
We already mentioned in our, if you don't follow us on Instagram, we did make a post about Rooster Teeth shutting down after 21 years of production. And I am not super familiar with their stuff, but after looking into them, I remember seeing the Red versus Blue show.
There was a shitload of fun shows, so almost everybody who's just on YouTube that watched video game stuff in the last 15 years probably came across them at some point.
Yeah, what was the other big one they did?
They had the Let's Plays, the Rage Quits, can't remember off the top of my head. They had so many different like segments. They had a pretty big staff.
Yeah, well, they had the Red versus Blue show with the Halo guys, and then I thought they had another show that was like pretty popular, and I can't remember what it was. But I didn't watch it a lot. But Caleb sounds like he got into those ones that he just mentioned, the Let's Plays and the Rage Quits and all that stuff.
Yeah, they were fun. I liked it mainly just the Grand Theft Auto stuff for the Let's Plays.
Okay. Yeah,
because they just did like ridiculous things. I think those were actually the only Let's Plays I watched, unless it was like a video game I was interested in. But like you, I never got into watching other people play video games. But that was more about like the Grand Theft Auto ones. It was like, hey, let's do a challenge and see if we can complete it. Like, let's see if we can have 10 cars jump over an airplane and just like stupid stuff.
That sounds fun to watch, especially back in the back in the heyday of when we were playing Grand Theft Auto a lot.
You know what this reminds me of, if you don't mind a mild digression here? The fall of Rooster Teeth reminds me of when G4 went under. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that network, but when I was a young man of, I don't know, probably early 20s or teenage years, I used to watch a bunch of different shows like Attack of the Show on G4, and it was just a bunch of video game related stuff, but it was really fun. And then just like Rooster Teeth, it got real popular. Too much money got involved. And then the market just must have collapsed and everybody fucking gave up on it. Or I don't know what happens with these things. Some with big corporations and saying, fuck you guys, we don't want to pay nobody to know how.
Yeah, I actually remember before G4 when it used to be that it used to just be like those old guys fixing computers.
Yeah, what was the name of that?
My dad used to watch that all the time.
I watched that too. I forget the name of that. It had a different name, I think. It wasn't G4 back then.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like Canadian 2 or something?
Oh, I don't know. It might have been.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
But that's actually, I think that's how my dad figured, because our home computer, one of the first ones we had, he actually built it, and I think he learned from watching that show. It's pretty funny. But It's sad news. They had to let go of like 150 employees. So we have to talk layoffs again, which is frustrating. But
that could be incorrect, but I'm pretty sure they laid off a bunch of people in the previous year, like every year.
Oh, really?
I think it's one of those deals. So it seems like, 150. I mean, that's not the biggest layoffs. But then if you factor mm-hmm. in every year, if they were laying off people every year like that, that's going to be potentially thousands of staff over the course of 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. RIP Rooster Teeth. And whoever used to watch that and was really into it, bad news. But we're all still alive, at least.
I feel like a lot... Not all of us. I'm just going to go into the next segment. But I feel like a lot of people who are lamenting the loss of Rooster Teeth now are people who don't even watch it. Like me, haven't watched it in years. It's like, the nostalgia of a time period where we enjoyed this. But we don't actually, much like G4, we didn't support the current product that went under. So most people probably didn't support Rooster Teeth in the last few years. And that's why it went under.
Probably. But... 21 years of doing anything and then having to shut down is always
sucks.
Yeah, shitty. Sucks.
But,
and our next sad piece of sad news is the loss of Akira Toriyama, the Dragon Ball Z guy. Did he create Dragon Ball Z?
Oh, God damn it, Bryce. Just go sit down. The creator of Dragon Ball. The creator of Goku and Vegeta and all the characters everybody loves that you were a nerd for watching until the last 8 years.
I watched it all. I didn't like pay attention to the creator.
More deep into the it fits for this show because the video games. If you look back to, I think even pre Nintendo game, there were Dragon Ball games. Like pre Nintendo, there were Dragon Ball games. On my emulator, I have fucking all kinds of Dragon Ball games for just. Japan only, and I played some of them, and some of them are really shit, but they just every year they've been made. I think there's more Dragon Ball games at this point than there were, series of the show or the anime. Like I'm trying to think because there was GT was the last series in that ended in the early 90s, and then there was nothing until Dragon Ball Super came out, and there's I don't know how many video games in between there.
That's crazy. It's crazy to think that Dragon Ball started in 1986. That's so weird.
The year I was born, baby.
Yeah. I watched that as a kid. I watched it because my brother watched it a lot. So it was kind of a secondhand thing that I learned to love it from. But and I knew they looked kind of like not brand new, but man, literally it came out like 8 years before I was even born.
The manga came out in 84, I think.
Oh, okay.
So it's even older than that. Yeah, and for the most part, the manga and the anime went, I think the stories were pretty similar until Dragon Ball Super, I think, or even maybe just the newest Dragon Ball that's supposed to be coming out. I think the stories were usually followed each other.
And then the NES came out in 1985. So are you telling me there was a game for there was a Dragon Ball game before 1985?
It would have been on what was the first Dragon? Let me look that up. First Dragon Ball. Oh shit. Because the first Nintendo in Japan, was it just the Famicom?
Think so.
I don't think it was just the NES.
We're not authority figures on these not the history things. We just really really like video games.
No, I was incorrect. The first Dragon Ball seems to have come out in 86. So when the anime came out, that's when the show or the
still that's pretty game crazy.
Started coming up. But yeah, it's just as old as the NES.
Yeah, and man, how many others succeeded that, and they're still making them. It's just wild. And Akira Toriyama was only 68 years old.
Yeah, he wasn't very old. You know what's strange? I don't know why, but I always think the Nintendo is older than it is.
Yeah.
For some reason I always think it came out in like 80 or 81, but it's 85. It's not that, it's old, but from Nintendo to Super Nintendo, it actually wasn't that long of a time period.
Yeah. When did Super Nintendo come out?
93, 4, maybe.
Oh, well, that's about right. Yeah. Because it's usually like every 7, 8 years. But yeah. Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, we were talking with a special guest that I haven't referenced yet about what consoles are considered retro. And it was an interesting discussion that you might want to listen to Monday's episode to hear. I mean,
you don't want to announce it to get people excited?
I'm going to at the end of this show.
Oh, you're just waiting for like a big, you got to listen to us blabber to get the new, or just fast forward.
Yeah, you guys, fast forward, on you guys.
We don't fast forward anymore. We skip. For you youngins, there used to be you had to hit a button and it actually would go, then you can get to where you want. That worked for music on cassette tapes as well as video VHSs.
Believe it or not.
And even CDs, you can hold the button and skip. Or not skip, fast forward. But it also introduced the skip. Go on, Bryce.
Well, yeah, I just want to, so RIP Akira Toriyama. And, you know, bless all of his wonderful creations and art.
I do wonder where the show and, like, the anime and the manga are going to... I'm sure he had people in place to know, like, that know where the story's going to go. But I don't know, like, once the story arcs that he had in the works finish, if it's going to continue. It has to, because it's such a big franchise now. It makes so much money.
Like, was he actively involved this whole time?
Except for Dragon Ball GT, which everyone hated, I believe he has had a hand in it for the entirety of not that he's like directly making the shows anymore, but I'm pretty sure he still was involved in the story and where the characters go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Maybe we can finally get that Superman Goku crossover fight.
Yeah. that would be entertaining.
It would.
Well, I just wanted to talk real quick about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Caleb, you got to stop bitching about the things that I want to talk about.
Seven Fantasy, so you and your Final Fantasy, it's all whatever. You don't play Final Fantasy. Reminds me of Final Fantasy.
Listen, anybody that's listening to this is probably playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth right now, and I want to mention it. It
look cool. I will say that it looks cool.
Yeah, it sounds fucking awesome. I'm playing Remake right now. I'm like a little over halfway through. I'm enjoying that, and I hear Rebirth is even better. And I just checked the reviews today for the first time, and they are like pretty awesome. I think Remake was getting like 8 out of 10s, but it looks like Rebirth is 9 out of 10, pushing 10 out of 10. So. It sounds like it's a little bit more open world, and it really pushes the whole, like, the story is not quite what you think or what you remember from the original Final Fantasy VII game. It pushes some boundaries, and I'm really excited. I wish that I could just finish Remake and roll right into Rebirth, but I feel like I gotta focus on some other games for the show first. But
hey, speaking of the show. Do you remember how we played a certain Mario game that we finally beat that was impossible?
Yes.
Fucking Mario's special birthday. We want to do an episode on that. And you kept saying, hey, let's read, not Infinite Jest, Gravity's Rainbow.
Yeah.
It's a smut book.
It is?
I'm not out today. I didn't know that was a smut book. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
I watched, what the fuck did I see that on? I was watching a hardcore literature video on YouTube where he was reading 1-star reviews for classic books. And someone was bitching about it being a smut book. I was like, I didn't know that. Apparently the whole thing is the guy gets boners for rockets, like missiles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I guess it's I don't know how deep he goes into it, but apparently it's a smut book. Dude, a very intelligent smut book.
Isn't that thing like 1,500 pages long or something like that?
Yeah, rambling smut.
I can't believe understanding. That.
Well, I would look into it more, but if you wanted to read that, just beware. It might be gross, and we could just read 120 Days of Sodom.
I didn't think he wanted to, or I didn't think he's considered like literature, isn't he? What is that like? Is that one like an outlier compared to his other stuff?
I don't know. I never read Pynchon.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought he was supposed to be like a quality writer. I don't know. That's interesting.
The writing's great, I'm sure. It's just what he's writing about is dirty.
On the line of Super Mario. We just passed Mario Day, March 10th, and they announced
Yeah, there's a lot of sex in Gravity's Rain, but you can look that up on Reddit yourself. Yeah, we just had Mario Day. Woo-hoo.
And they announced, did you hear about the new Super Mario Brothers 2 movie?
I did not. Who is cast? Is it anime or animation? Or is
I don't
it
know if they gave any. I don't know if they gave any details yet, but I would imagine it would be just like the last one. Did you watch the first one?
With Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
No. No interest.
It's not like incredible, but it's pretty good. I liked it better the second time I watched it.
I don't have kids in my life, so I tend not to watch cartoon movies.
I went to the movies to see it, so.
By yourself?
No, but.
Just creeping in the back. Hat pulled down low.
It's not bad, though. And I'm interested in seeing what the second one's about. It would be awesome if they brought the, if they made it like half animation and half, and then all animation, but then they brought in the guy, who like a live action Mario actor from that old 80s show.
He's probably old as fuck.
Or dead.
Or he's probably dead.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And it would be cool if they also linked it with Zelda. And then you have, they incorporate the poor catchphrase that Link has in that old animated show.
I heard you say, oh, I hope they do in a Nintendo universe where we have Mario, Zelda, all the fun games crossed over, and they beat each other up, and then the Contra guys come in and shoot up to work. I want to see a live-action Contra movie.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. That would be fucking awesome.
Fucking rad, man.
Yeah, if they combined all that shit, that would be so cool.
Think of like Jason Statham's Crank movies and what's another super high action, barely a plot movie where it's just nonstop? That's what we need for a Contra movie. There doesn't need to be much of a plot. Just running and shooting and nonstop explosions. When you get out, you're all fucking like, oh,
yeah, awesome. Expendables. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Better than Expendables. Lasers.
Yeah, rockets. Yeah. I'm just saying that's like what you're. That's like the line of.
No, but they try to have a plot in that. I don't want a plot.
Yeah.
Action.
Run and gun, and then an alien shows up for absolutely no reason.
Big old flapjack titties flopping all about too. Rated R kids movie Nintendo. That might not be good. It doesn't say that'd be ladies' boobs.
So 2026 Super Mario Brothers 2, I think, the movie.
Okay. Yeah.
And on the line of Super Mario Brothers, we have an outlying episode to do. Special birthday, but also Paper Mario, Caleb.
Shitty Mario game.
And I was wondering, I mean, I kind of already mentioned it to you, but I think I've been trying to think of a way to bring Mario games into the main episodes of Arcade Bookshop. And I think since Mario games don't really have a real developed story, it's usually kind of the same idea, but they're still really fun and worth talking about because they're almost all really good. I was thinking that we could do Mario games, cover them, and talk about whatever substance is there. And then for the book, it can be like a psychedelic fiction series.
Maybe.
Since Mario is all about shrooms.
I do feel like the second Mario could be like Hamlet or something, though. Because it's like a stage play.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I mean, we could switch it up.
Or actually, A Midsummer Night's Dream, since you want to go all shroomy, and there's fucking some weird shit in that. Might work.
Is there? I'm not super familiar with that.
Yeah, it's just like fairies in the woods, and everybody's falling asleep and drugged, and I don't know. It's weird. Read that last year, and it was pretty fun. It was really funny too.
It would be funny though if we just played like Paper Mario, and then we're like. Yeah, let's talk Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
I love Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. So. But we'd have to do gambling games for that. No, we don't. We don't have to do anything like that. All right, Bryce. Funny.
Well, do you have anything else?
Other than publishing news, I don't know if we're touching on publishing news today.
Yeah, I'll just shoot it out there real quick.
Shoot it out there like a Contra guy. Those guys have names?
I don't think so.
They have to.
A red guy and blue guy.
You give your news and I'll look up red guy and blue guy.
All right. Well, I think I don't know if I mentioned before that I was accepted into the latest issue of Star 82 review, but
you might have mentioned it, but it is out now, right?
It has released. So if you look up Star 82 review, it's an online publication, but seeing if I can get an actual link here for you.
Bill Reiser and Lance Bean.
What is that? Oh, that's the
Contra guys from the Earth Marine Corps Contra unit. Bill Reiser and Lance Bean. They're modeled after Stallone and Arnold.
Oh, they're actually modeled after them?
Well, if you look on the cover, they're definitely modeled after them.
Okay.
That's yeah, 100. Actually, I think they took, for instance, I don't know if you can see this, but that's clearly Arnold from either Predator or Commando cover. Yeah. Like his body with a different face.
That's funny. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, so it's star82review.com, and it's the latest issue, 12.1. It also has a print version, if you are so interested. It costs like $11 or something, and it's not too bad.
I'm not a big fan of when publications have online for free and print. I like the print, obviously, but it sucks because I feel like most people would not buy the print if they could just read it for free.
Yeah, it's true. I just feel like there are so few print publications now, and most of the ones that are out that are primarily print are really hard to get into, and they have like they're much more like professional, I guess, whatever. I just take what I can get, I guess. I search for publications that make a print issue, but a lot of times it's like this where they have an online one, but it also comes in print. Like I also got that one. I think I mentioned this one too, the Loud Coffee Press. Mm-hmm. They're kind of the same thing. I think all their stuff's online, I think, but they also make a print publication. So it's just kind of like that now. And I'm just trying to appreciate anything that I can get. And
what I like is like how Spank the Carp is online only, but then they do an anthology every once in a while. So I got in their last anthology, which is like a print anthology. So that's cool because then it's like, yeah, you don't actually have to pay for any of this. But if you want a compilation that's just all of them in one place without having to go on the website, you know, you can do that. But yeah, still not cool. Necessary. I told everybody when I got that came out, I was like, don't buy that. Just read it for free. I got the link on my website.
Is it is that one like literally everything that he published in the last year?
I believe. I mean, I didn't look specifically, but I would imagine.
Yeah, because he doesn't publish all that.
He only publishes like 8 pieces every 3 months or something. So
yeah,
8 to 10 pieces. So to fill up a whole almost 200-page book or whatever it is, I mean, in within a year, I would think you'd have to publish all of them.
Yeah, but that's still cool.
Yeah,
and I'm excited. I ordered a print copy of Star 82, and it's a poem that I submitted 26 times until I got it accepted, and I started submitting it in June of 2022. So,
Lord,
it's kind of an accomplishment for me, and just another representation of how persistence is important. Because you can easily think, "Oh, I got that rejected 26 times.
It sucks.
It's probably not very good." But I just remember my poetry professor. I actually workshopped that particular poem with her, and she thought it was good. And after we fixed it up a little bit, and she told me that she knew someone who's also a poet, and he submitted this poem, I don't know, something like 22 times. And, you know, the 23rd time he won a contest with it. So he like won money and stuff. So
sometimes, you know, rejections, it's just, you know, how it affects the person judging it. So you never know.
Yeah, the rejections are sometimes just meaningless.
Yeah.
And you don't know the actual reason half the time. Like, they could say one thing, but it could be totally.
Honestly, I think 90-something% of the rejections you receive are often either they didn't really read it or they just already had their quota filled and are just, you know, going through. Because, like, all these magazines, they get so many submissions and these journals, like, you get, let's play 100, 200 submissions, but you only publish maybe 10 poems in your book. Like, you have an anthology or something, like a review. Okay, you get like a New England Review. How many poems are in that? 10 maybe?
Yeah, not that at most. Many at all.
And they get hundreds and hundreds of submissions. Yeah, they're not even reading them probably once they hit their quota.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, you have to assume that they lie preference to the ones that have decent credits or that they already know.
Yeah.
So.
Especially if they recognize a name, but like I.
Because they want to sell it.
Yeah, but like the editors and publishers I've spoken to over this last year, they've all told one thing they've all have in common is when you submit, if you can name drop, do it, because that'll really help. Like if you're like, oh, hey, I know this person, and then, you know, or this person recommended me or something, they go, oh, I'll actually take this more seriously and not just, you know, gloss over it.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have more people to name drop.
Yeah, we're at the bottom, so we got to work our way up.
Yeah. Well, Caleb, do you have any sweet nothings to whisper?
What did you whisper
last night?
I didn't really remember whispering anything. Probably snored, but I got an acceptance from the Sirens Call. So I'll be in issue 65 of that, and they boast a readership of 35,000 people.
That's awesome. So
if that's true, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I hope it's true.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I only submitted that story once, and it was to them. No, that's not true. I submitted that story to Driftwood, and they didn't read it.
Yeah. Well,
they fucking charged me $30 and sent me a shitty novel.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
As expected. Well, are you all good?
That's about it for me, I think.
All righty. Till next week, then. Stay tuned, though, everybody listening. Stay tuned this Monday, the 18th, for another special feature of Arcade Bookshop. We interviewed Adam Blank, host of Canada's number one gaming podcast, Remember the Game. And it was really, really good and fun. So I hope you guys check it out. It's this Monday, the 18th. You can watch it on YouTube. You can listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you pod. So please check that out. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You have just spent some time in the Arcade Cafe, and we hope you enjoyed yourself. I enjoyed myself.
I always enjoy myself.
Ooh. I know you do. I'm Bryce Yoli. This is my pal and cousin-in-law, Caleb James, and we will see you next week.